Maybe.
Welcome to Meech's Musings here on the Jeff Meacham Network. Thank you all for tuning in today. We are live right now. It is Monday, April 6, 2020. Thank you all on YouTube, on, oh Lord, both my Twitters, Facebook group, Twitch, and if you're listening later on Anchor, thank you also for listening on Anchor. I greatly appreciate that. What a crazy relaunch, if you will, it was yesterday here on the Jeff Beecham Network. I can't thank again Bruce, our producer, enough. Just a crazy, crazy day for everybody in wrestling. It was different. I heard the word unique used a lot. I heard the word different used a lot. It was something, and it's one of those things where we talk about. Hello, Big G. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you being here. We talk a lot about in this industry about events and about time, moments in time. Yesterday and Saturday were both that kind of event. Aha! Caitlin's on Periscope. God bless you, sweetie. Thank you for being on Periscope watching me. Oh, my goodness. I am scheduling to go till 8 o'clock Eastern. That way we don't go into Raw's time frame because I don't want to piss off Mr. Mahakman. But, and I do want to see how they play out yesterday's events. So there's that. But yeah, it was a very strange, surreal experience the last 2 days watching what we knew was a pre-taped WrestleMania, and the production values were off the charts, especially with the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse match. Cannot praise John Cena and Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker, AJ Styles, and Gals Anderson and everybody involved in those shoots. The production team's amazing job. Hello, Kobe. Thank you for being here. So to WWE, I say thank you for allowing us to escape the taboo shit that's been out in the world the last month or so. It was a wonderful chance to immerse myself in a crazy world of WWE, especially those two matches. And pretty much universal praise. Yes, there was some long matches. Yes, there was some things that didn't go, you know, smoothly or seemed to go over or whatever. But I like WrestleMania. I'm thoroughly impressed. I like WrestleMania. I'm glad I like WrestleMania. I was worried I was going to hate everything about it, and I didn't. So yay. Big G is just getting me right to the topic, isn't it? Yes. Today, if you recall, those of you who are history buffs like me, it was 6 years ago this evening that Daniel Bryan was officially coronated the man in WWE. Now, I'm talking about Becky Lynch. I'm talking about Daniel Bryan. It was in New Orleans at WrestleMania 30, which was 6 years ago, which is scary. That was 6 years ago. I can't even, that's like half of Dylan's life just went by in a flash. His whole life's gone in a flash. But I wanted to talk about that day in history because people compared it to what happened with Kofi Kingston last year, and that it was so organic and so not really a thought process in the brainchild of Mr. McMahon or in his management team. It just kind of evolved. It took on a life of its own, and it's very much the same way that happened with Daniel Bryan. Unlike Kofi Kingston's meteoric rise, which happened, you know, he was there for 11 years, but it really manifested itself within the span of only a month. Whereas Bryan, I firmly believe the entire first run, if you will, of Daniel Bryan from 2010 to 2014 was, Big G said, one of the longest storylines in history and definitely one of the most impactful storylines in recent memory. When he debuted in NXT, when NXT was still that competition show, because he was on the first season, he became a brief part of the Nexus before he was made a babyface by damn demand, because you're not going to boo Bryan Danielson. Not going to happen. We did later, and it was great. It was I liked the Planet's Champion thing personally, but that's just me. When he debuted with WWE in 2009 and then got called up into the NXT situation in 2010, I had high hopes. I was hopeful that we would see, Daniel Bryan be brought into the fold quicker than that. I feel he was a main eventer before he was a main eventer. I feel that that Bryan deserved to be in that main event spot, and he wasn't. Instead, they paired him with The Miz, which made for compelling television well into his second run. Let's be real. It was a great story with Miz and Bryan throughout the course of Bryan's WWE career. But the whole nerd thing and the whole, you know, he knows obscure wrestling knowledge and wrestling holds, and, you know, what is it called? That's the word I'm looking for. I can't think of hypothetical wrestling situation scenarios. So it came off hokey. It came off bad. And then, you know, NXT played out its first season. The Nexus was formed. They attacked. Bryan gets released due to the whole thing with Justin Roberts and the tie. And he goes back to the Indies. And I say to this day that my son's mom owes me one, because we went to what ended up being a birthday thing for her that we could have done a different day. And we missed Bryan Danielson's lone appearance back in PWG in SoCal before he went back to the WWE. So, on you. I know. Bitter critter, don't care. So, when he came back, then he was put in the title picture. And he was U.S. champion. And he had this way about him. And then he lost U.S. championship. But then he won Money in the Bank. And it's like, ooh. Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan could be the World Heavyweight Champion. We may just see our indie darling get the big win. And he did. But as he did, his character evolved or devolved, if you want to really, you know, be real about it, devolved into this paranoid, arrogant, crazy man who pretty much abused... his girlfriend verbally and treated her like dirt as he was the World Heavyweight Champion. Let's see. That's a good question, Big G. And I will, when I get to 2014, I will definitely address that. So thank you for bringing that up. I will definitely bring that to you. And no, Don, I won't behave. This is my show. This is my channel. I do what I want. And yes, that was the Cartman voice. Don't hate. And then, of course, the kick turned around the world. You talk about WrestleMania moments. Hogan slams Andre, Savage Steamboat, Michaels Bret, the bloody Steve Austin face. The Austin era has begun. 18 damn seconds. To this day, and I get it, that we had to get that moment for Bryan to plant that seed to lead him down the Primrose path. But as a hardcore, independent Bryan Danielson fan, watching him get his face kicked off in front of how many thousand people, Greg? You were there. 80,000, whatever it was, back in Miami. Seeing that happen in the first match of WrestleMania and then watching him get humiliated like that, it was infuriating. Just infuriating. And I was not being Mr. Big Picture, and that's completely my fault. I completely was just, you know, ready to throw shit across the apartment and just raise a ruckus and was pissed off. And even my friends and roommates who were there with me, who are also knowledgeable enough about wrestling to know that, hey, you know, he'll be okay. We were all just completely bent out of shape, and it was not looking good going into the summer of 2012 when CM Punk ended up retaining the WWE Championship in a feud with Bryan, with AJ Lee being involved. Of course, Kane was involved in that, I think, at some point too. So, and speaking of Kane, the big turnaround came in 2012 when AJ Lee was named the Raw General Manager, if you recall, and put Bryan and Kane together as a tag team and against their will, because they were hating on each other. And it was just, it was a very interesting situation. So, what I would have done at WrestleMania 28, Colin, is at least make it competitive. But that's what I would have done in 2012. Looking back now, 6 years later, I think it's the absolute right decision to do it how they did it, because it made Brian go completely over the edge. He completely snapped his twig, and it led to Crazy Brian feuding with Demon Kane and having to, you know, get along with each other and having to make it right and make it work. So again, hindsight is 2020, as we know, right, Mr. Bischoff? And context is king. And without a doubt, that kick, that broke kick by Sheamus, ultimately led Brian to the promised land. And I'm moving my camera. Whoopsie. Bear with me, guys. There we go. Ultimately led Brian to the promised land 2 years later. So again, do you really hate on it long term? No. In the short term, yeah, you're freaking pissed off. You're just, you want to just wreck everything. I need to clean my table. I have a big old condensation. So then we get Team Hell No. And Team Hell No, I did not want to like Team Hell No. Quite honestly, and I'm going to be completely 100% real, and this is probably going to piss off some people, I was not a fan of Kane being around when he was around in 2012. I didn't think it was going to work. I thought that, you know, having the demon return and then turning them into a goof, a comedy character, was going to fall flat. And damn it, was I wrong, and I'm glad I'm wrong. I think it gave Kane a whole new life. I think it gave Kane a second chance, you know, a real chance to show his comedic chops, his creative chops. And Demon Kane being comedic and teaming with Brian led to feuding with Brian, which then led to corporate Kane. And, we saw Kane evolve. Kane was ever evolving. People talk about Chris Jericho being an evolving character. I think Kane is one of the best evolving characters we've ever seen in his, God, he's been there, what, 22 years? 23 years as Kane? Excuse me. It's so tasty, too. So Team Hell No is formed. They are tag team champions for 245 days and only lost because they came up against the juggernaut that was the Shield. And yes, I hated the team at first too, Colin. Ended up loving it, no question about it. Mikey T, yes, I am Jeff Meacham. Hello, hey. I found myself enjoying the segments, Big G. I really did. And what I really love, and people don't, you know, understand from a SoCal fan's point of view, before he was Mr. AEW Tag Team Champion, Harold was a longtime favorite of ours here in SoCal. And we got to see Scorpio Sky do his thing. And it was really, really cool to see Scorpio get a chance, even as a goofy, you know, therapy patient. It was still funny. I agree so far. I've not read the whole book yet, Smith Grove, but I fully intend to get a copy of it on the Kindle when I have an opportunity. I also know there's an audiobook. I really want to hear him read it. I did hear the foreword to that on audio. Unfortunately, The Undertaker's foreword is not read by The Undertaker, which sucks, but you know, what are you gonna do? April's here. Hi, April. I'm so glad you're here. Actually, did I invite you to the chat room yesterday? I thought I did, but I'm glad you're here now. That's good. So I'm glad you're here. What was really funny is people did not expect Team Hell No to last as long as it did, and then it just did. It ended up going better than anybody could have possibly imagined and got Brian so far over that when the storyline dictated that John Cena was to pick his opponent for SummerSlam 2013, John looked at the roster and said, I choose Daniel Bryan. It was amazing. And it was a cool moment for all of us that were Bryan Danielson fans, Ring of Honor fans, PWG fans, independent wrestling fans in general. It was almost like we were getting the shot at the WWE Championship because Bryan Danielson was our guy for the previous 10 years, 12 years, whatever the case was. You know, if you weren't a TNA AJ Styles guy, you were a independent Ring of Honor Bryan Danielson guy. I think that's just how a lot of us felt back then. And God bless you that you're watching Barbershop, because trying to watch me and Barbershop at the same time is a recipe for train wreck. So God bless you, Big G. Don't forget, Raw's at 5 o'clock, my time, 8 o'clock Eastern. So I'll be watching Raw. I want to see what happens now that WrestleMania is officially in the books and has been broadcast. I want to see. So John Cena chooses Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship match at SummerSlam. And much to everybody's wishes coming true, Daniel Bryan wins the WWE Championship. Triple H, who had been supporting Daniel Bryan on TV against his father-in-law, Mr. McMahon, who didn't see Daniel Bryan as a WWE champion, and we'll get to that momentarily. But Triple H was steadfast. You know, the kid deserves it. He can do this. I know he can. And he did it. And then somebody heard voices in his head, and we have a pedigree, and we have a dropping on the face. And that led to one of the most creative storytelling periods of wrestling history, I think, ever. And yes, people hated on the Authority. And yes, people hated on Mr. McMahon when he turned heel and led the corporation. But you know what? I think it worked. I really think that it made a huge impact. And no, I've not watched that yet, April. That is on my list tonight after Raw. So luckily I get Raw on East Coast time now, thanks to good old AR. And once 8 o'clock hits, I will be turning on Netflix and watching the Big Show show, because I have heard wonderful things and I cannot wait to see it, because Big Show is a comedic genius. We saw it on Saturday Night Live 20 years ago last month. So he's great. So then we go into the first real Authority storyline, the birth of the Authority, if you will. Thank you, Mike. Let me just give you the recognition there, Mr. Mike. Thank you. Birth of the Authority. It was through Daniel Bryan that the Authority really became the Authority, if you want to think, if you really want to give credit where credit is due. The storyline with Daniel Bryan was the birthing of the Authority. It was so well done and so well produced. Cannot give Hunter and Stephanie and Vince, everybody, enough credit for that, because Daniel Bryan became basically the non-alcoholic Stone Cold Steve Austin is the best way I can put it, because he was going up against the Authority. He was going up against the evil, tyrannical Triple H and Stephanie and all of their minions, including Seth Rollins, including J&J Security. But again, we didn't get Seth Rollins and J&J really until after WrestleMania, which we're going to get to at the end of this show, because WrestleMania, of course, was the end of Triple H, the end of Batista, Orton, Triple H apart. We evolved into a feud with the Shield and then Plan B. So we'll talk about that another time, because I do want to talk about the Shield. I do want to talk about the Architects, Seth Rollins. I do want to talk about Roman Reigns and John Moxley. And I do want to talk about that. And yeah, PG version, exactly. Exactly. PG version is a exact good terminology. Very good, sir. So we get Brian chasing Randy, and he beats Randy the following month. And it's a fast count. So Hunter says, nope, not happening. We're going inside Hell in a Cell, and Shawn Michaels is the referee. And because Brian goes after Shawn Michaels, or goes after Hunter, Shawn Michaels kicks him. So Shawn costs his own student the championship. Oh. It was just a tragic, tragic turn of events. That's a damn fun. That's good. I like that. That's good. Yeah. Although I hear Steve's eco-friendly now. So, you know, maybe he's drinking organic beer. Anyway. So. Oh, yeah. We get down to the end of the year, and we go into the storyline with Randy Orton and John Cena over the WWE World Heavyweight Championship being unified into one championship, and all the world champions are in the ring, and everybody's just chanting for Bryan, chanting for Bryan, chanting for Bryan, and again, you see that germ, that little seed planted for the future. Now, here's where things get wiggy, because people were expecting, okay, Brian's been pushed aside. Brian's been shunted. We're going to see him win the Royal Rumble and get that opportunity at WrestleMania. And it didn't happen. Batista comes back, gets booed out of the damn building, and wins the Royal Rumble in the process. And Brian is shifted into a storyline where he has to join the Wyatt family because he's so overwrought with dealing with them that he feels he can do nothing else but join the authority. So I joined the Whites, excuse me. You know what? I'm just going to throw that up there and y'all can do what you want with it. I'm going to leave it there. Cause I like Dave as a actor and I heard he's a wonderful human being, not a fan of Big Bad Batista, the wrestler. So there, I don't know what I'm doing. There we go. It's like that. Okay. I'm learning my cues as I go here because shit pops up and I don't know where it is in relation to me for real because I forgot I'm a mirror. Anyway, so finally the storyline resolves with Brian and the Wyatts. They're in the cage and he peels off the overalls and he's Daniel Bryan again and he's liberated himself and Triple H is continuing to keep him down, continuing to push him down. And Brian's had enough. He's completely had enough. He's 100% committed to getting what he wants. And what he wants is the WWE Championship back. And he knows the only way to get that is to show Triple H that he can. And the only way to show Triple H, to get that respect of Triple H that he feels he can get, is to beat Triple H up himself, is to go into New Orleans and beat up Triple H in WrestleMania on the big stage. And Triple H is like, fuck it, no, it's not going to happen. I'm sick of this whole friggin' thing right now, okay? I remember that quote exactly. It's so good. And then I think it was Portland, which, you know, Portland's near and dear to my heart. Portland occupies Raw. Like, they have fans come out of the stands wearing the gray Daniel Bryan shirts, and they just completely occupy the stage of the ring and the surrounding ringside area. And Hunter and Stephanie are befuddled, just befuddled. And they don't know what to do with themselves. And everybody's yesing. And finally, Triple H acquiesces. You want it, you got it. I'm going to kick your ass at WrestleMania. And of course, WrestleMania comes along April 6th. Like I said, 6 years ago today, we get the big grand entrance of the King of Kings, golden throne, golden attire, Charlotte, Sasha, and Alexa doing the peel off with the attire, the King's attire. We get the game music. We get Hunter's entrance. It's Triple H WrestleMania, folks. You can't ask for a hell of a lot better than Triple H WrestleMania. And Daniel Bryan, who had that shit beat out of him on Raw the previous week after being handcuffed or tied up or one of those two, came in looking like he was going to get the ragamuffin thrown into him. And you know what? He beat him. He beat Hunter. And it was a great opening match at WrestleMania. It was one of those Bret Hart, Owen Hart moments where you know you're going to get a great opening match because both guys are in it. And you know that Bret, having won that match or lost that match, was still going to have a great championship match at the end of the night. Whoever won that match was going to be an amazing triple threat. You know, small smattering of folks were like, "Ooh, Evolution triple threat. I like the sound of that." But the most of us were, of course, you know, it's all about Brian. We wanted to see Daniel Bryan, and I agree with Big G. Definitely one of Triple H's better wrestling matches at WrestleMania. He's kind of gone back and forth. His first couple outings, you know, Warrior and Goldust were what they were. I mean, Dustin is great, and he and Hunter worked well together in other encounters. I didn't enjoy the Mania ones so much, but I didn't, and I also definitely didn't enjoy the Warrior match because it was a squash piece of shit match. It was terrible. But, you know, then he got in there with Owen, and he had the thing with Kane, which was what it was. But once he became the man, he's been stellar ever since, in my opinion. So there you go. And then we get to post-match. Triple H, of course, is livid that he lost to this B-plus player and just furious. And he has this big entrance as the King of Kings. He has this pomp and circumstance. He's got the girls. He's got the row of the chain mail. He's got everything going for him. He walks in the ring with his chest puffed out and full of piss and vinegar, and he gets beat by the nerd, by the dork, by the upstart, by the guy who shouldn't be there, doesn't belong there in his eyes, and he gets beat. So what does Triple H do? He throws a temper tantrum and kicks his ass, beats the shit out of him. hurts his shoulder worse. You see him a couple times in the night later. Brian, they're adjusting his shoulder. They're taping it up. They're working on it. And so there you go. We get to the main event. The last match of the night. Again, great entrances. Orton gets played out by for his song, which I love his song. And I loved how it sounded live. It was so well done. Just amazing entrance for Randy Orton. And, you know, people kind of crap on the two belt look for the Undisputed Champion. But I think it's so cool to have the two belts draped over you when you're walking out there. That signifies I'm the best on Raw. I'm the best on SmackDown. Go screw yourself. I am the man. Now, I will say this. When Triple H, when Chris Jericho became Undisputed Champion, myself included, a lot of us were happy and so relieved that Chris Jericho finally got the big opportunity. But I, to this day, feel that Chris Jericho was never seen, at least at that point, as the guy. When Triple H beat him for the two belts and replaced it with the singular championship, the Undisputed Eagle, I think it made the two belt thing look diminished. But when Randy Orton was champion, it was awesome. When Brian won it here in this main event, I thought it looked great, even though he carried one and wore the other. It was different. I like that. Cena did a great job carrying the two belts, and when Brock beat the holy shit out of Cena, which we'll get to, I'm sure, at some point on this show, Brock looked good with the two belts in the air with Heyman there. So I like the two belt look. Maybe it's just me. Mike, what's up, brother? Good to see you. Kobe, have I seen the WrestleMania Theater version? I have not. I have not watched WrestleMania Theater. I keep meaning to, and I keep not doing it. So thank you for the reminder. I will get to that hopefully in the next day or so once I get caught up on my DVR space, because I went into work mode over the weekend, so a lot of shit got piled on the DVR. Okay, so this main event is exactly what you would expect out of this type of match, because Brian gets the snot beat out of him. He's left for dead. You know, the members of Evolution, the two members of Evolution involved in the storyline, you know, take him out. Brian comes back. Hunter comes out with Stephanie. Hunter's in his gym track suit, whatever the hell that stupid thing is called. I don't wear him, so I don't know. I don't give a shit. With Scott Armstrong, the cooker referee who we saw back in September. So the intention is to screw Brian again and to make sure the belt stays with Randy, apparently, because you can tell they're even trying to make sure Batista can become champion, which is, you know, against what Batista had thought was going to be the case, you would think. So, but we get the moment and he makes Batista tap, which I think was a little nod of the cap to us, the fans, saying, we didn't want Batista. You guys didn't want Batista. So here, Brian's going to beat Batista for you. Here you go. Merry friggin' Christmas. And Brian makes Batista tap out in the middle of the ring in front of 70 something or whatever it was, 1,000 people at the Superdome. Right, Terry? Superdome, brother, and raises the belts, which I thought is a cool shot. That's why I have it as the thumbnail for today on, if you're on YouTube. And it was so, so well done, so well handled and laid out. And the moment with Connor was so great. And on top of the announce table doing the yes with the belts and the pyro, it was one of those things. Again, I said this, I think it was during the post show with Christian last night. I was talking with him. I don't cry a hell hole of a whole lot at wrestling anymore because I'm so jaded and so just like whatever with it anymore. But I was sobbing like a baby when Daniel Bryan became the World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania, because I had been, I won't go say as far as say the word friends, but I will say close acquaintances through his workings at PWG. So I felt like it was one of us. It was really one of our moments for the PWG fans, Ring of Honor fans, and the Bryan Danielson fans. It was really, really great. Yeah, exactly. Dave wanted to come back and be the bad guy, and they didn't let him do that. It was just awful. It was unfortunate for Dave. And again, I like Dave. I'm not a fan of the overall presentation of Batista, the character. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I have the weirdest allergies, too, when that happens. When I watch Ric Flair's retirement that I was at before, I get the weirdest sniffles and the eyes get red. And, oh, my gosh, I'll tell you what. When you're watching Edge's moment, you know, Edge's 24 episode that was on last night or yesterday, the allergies flared up. Terrible, Colin. Oh, my God, just the worst. I had to go take an antihistamine. It was so bad. Just awful. It was really, really good. I agree. It was one of the better ones they've done. And I'll tell you what, you can give me all that Last Ride Undertaker series y'all want to give me. That looks fucking amazing. I definitely got to see that. That looks just, it's going to kick some serious ass. I cannot wait to see that. So, April says he deserves to be champion. I think that he does. And I think that he was a great WWE champion in the moments where he carried it from AJ to Kofi. Bryan right now, I think, is way better served giving that proverbial rub to his buddies, Cesaro and Sammy and Nakamura. I think, and Gulak, you know, helping Gulak come around. I like every bit of what's going on in the Intercontinental title scene right now. I hope it continues. And I hope that Bryan is the one to take it from Sammy. Excuse me. You know, I have to agree, Mike. I think that that is leading toward the announcement. And I hope, for Aaron's sake, that it's November 22nd, because that's Undertaker's 30th anniversary, and that's Aaron's 38th birthday. And if he retires the Survivor Series, you would think that we get a Hall of Fame and final moment at WrestleMania in Los Angeles. Bryan, I think, started in 99, maybe even 2000. He and AJ weren't too far off from one another. It was close, which is why they were often compared as far as their parallel courses in the two companies, because they were both at the same time. I wouldn't mind seeing a match at WrestleMania next year, Smith's Grove, and I know you know, and you have the same reason why, because the plan is to be there. But if honestly, if all it is Hall of Fame induction and WrestleMania moment on the stage, I'm all about it too. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I don't know. Somebody can help me out on that. I don't know what Survivor Series is, so help brother out. Somebody tell Mike where Survivor Series is. And yes, I will get to that. I was getting there. I wasn't done with my story. Patience, Jeffrey. Patience. I don't know if Bryan would have been elevated that quickly. However, I don't see it as a quick elevation, and I'll tell you why. Because that had been building from the moment he took that bro kick to the face 2 years prior. So I don't know if Punk would have been the guy at WrestleMania 30. There's rumors that he was going to be in the championship match. And there was speculation of that. And it's, again, that's the rumor and innuendo that he was supposed to be in the championship match. So I think Bryan would have got it organically without CM Punk, because or with CM Punk there, because he's just the man, and I think Bryan deserved it. So let me get to that. Star Series is in Dallas. So there you go, Mike D. Thank you, Smith Grove. I hope it, like I said, we all hope it's next year, because we get to see it in Los Angeles or Vegas. That'd be great. So thank you all for that. Let me throw this up, if I may. Let's do that. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on Daniel Bryan. I want the world to see your guys' thoughts on Daniel Bryan. So come on in. Don't be scared. And we'll talk about this because, like I said, I've got another 25 minutes at least till Raw comes on. So, which means you do too. So, come on in. Let's see if we can. Can we make it not the ticker? I don't know how to do that. That's okay. Don't forget, email Bruce at bcraft@beckandpeters.com. You can check it out for questions about media, live streaming, or talk shows. He's the guy that said all this stuff you see here and here, and Beck Computers is the place to be, man. I'll tell you, they are amazing. I can't plug them enough. They are just doing such great things for me, and they're helping me kick serious ass. So please show them the love. And if you have any questions about anything in the tech world, they are your guys and gals to go to without question. So check them out. I don't know if you guys are able to get in there. If you're not, let me go back to the comments and see, because it's just now, see, I didn't know that Punk was scheduled to be Triple H WrestleMania 30. I had not heard that. And yes, again, if Taker's Survivor Series last match is perfect, so I would have to agree for that. Brian is probably going to be a lighter schedule going forward. I'm guessing you mean Nitro, the debut of Nitro, because I can do that. If it's on a Monday, I'll definitely do it. This is the. So let me get a calendar and see if September 4th is a Monday, because that'd be great to do the start of the Monday Night Wars officially, although it wasn't a war that night because Raw was preempted for whatever, it was the dog show or some stupid shit. So let me just do that. I don't see anybody coming into the chat room, so I don't know if anybody's coming in, but that's okay. Here is the plan as we go forward here the rest of the week. I didn't know that, Mike. Okay. The link is right below where you're seeing your comment, Jeff, right there, streamyard.com/K2, whatever that is down there. I don't know if you can click it, but let me see if I can. Oh, it's on a Friday. Well, talk wrestling then. Talk wrestling, I can do that too. That won't be an Ask Me Anything. That'll be a talk wrestling. It'll be a talk wrestling discussion topic. Maybe we'll get some people in on there. Can I do that? I can't click that, can I? Okay. Let's see if I can. Whoop. .com. To AQ. The. Four. Z. U. S. H. Oh, that's right. There. That's going across the whole comment board. So everybody's seeing that link on the comments on the various streams. So hopefully that, except Facebook, apparently. It's not going out to Facebook, which is fine. If you're watching on Facebook, by the way, thank you. I appreciate you guys watching on my Facebook, because I know I've been kind of anti-wrestling on my Facebook as far as actually posting content until recently. So thank you for that. I would have to agree. SummerSlam's got to be completely balls out, 100% full production, completely, you know, all bells and whistles, because it's very likely going to be the first event. Because now I'm hearing July or even August before the lockdowns end. So got to get people out to the TD Garden or whatever the arena in Boston is called. I don't like Boston, so I don't know. But I'm all about Sasha winning the championship there, though, because I like Sasha. So there's that. So I'm trying to see if I can see here. Let's see. I wonder what will happen if I do this. if you guys can click that, or you can type it in since you're seeing it steady as opposed to me just the ticker moving it. Let's do that. Let's just leave that off. That way you guys can see it and you can click it, or you can type it into your web browser or your phone browser or your whatever browser you're on. I don't see you, Mr. Jeff. Not a fan of Gronk. Sorry. He's not my guy. Not a fan. It's usually what you would do, Big G, is you would you type it into the, let's see here. Let's try this. I got an idea. Oh wait, I can do that. Okay. All right. Let's see. SummerSlam should be in the stadium. I think that was the plan anyway, which again, that would be at Gillette Field or whatever the hell that's called, right? So that would be the way to go. I would do it that way personally. That's what I would do. Is have SummerSlam in the big, and again, we're supposed to talk about Brian, and that's fine, but SummerSlam is going to be one of those events that's, it has to be, like I said, it has to be big. Oh, you're on backstage. Why can't I? That's weird. Okay, Big G, get out of that. I'll do it a different way. That's weird. It shouldn't have done. I don't know why I put you backstage with that invite. Like I said, it's all a work in progress, folks. We are. I'm doing this. Seat of my pants, and but I'm working on it. So let's see here. Please, God, no! I don't want to see Tyson Fury. I don't get the Tyson Fury thing. I don't like it. I don't understand it. It bugs. It legitimately bugs me that they're involving him in the company. I don't find him entertaining. He's got great charisma from what I can see, but I don't feel like he really has a belong. Like he really belongs there. So, and if he's the one that beat McIntyre, that'll really piss me off. Like, to no end, that'll piss me off. Just abysmally piss me off. And I'm going to keep saying piss me off till people think, no, that it pisses me off. So, Big G, I'm working on it. Just give me a second here. Let's see. I don't know why. No. Just hang on. Just hang tight, Big G. I got you. Come on, you punk. Unfortunately, we have internet issues in this house, and it's just crazy. So, he's mega poopy. What can I say? But yeah, I don't want Tyson Fury anywhere near the WWE Championship. I don't feel he belongs there. I just don't. And you know, that's maybe short-sightedness on my part. I don't know, but I don't feel that's right that he should be WWE champion. You know, I'm not a fan. I would be about this though. I would love to see a pay-per-view UK. I know you guys in the UK really want to see a pay-per-view, and you guys haven't had one in a long time as far as an actual WWE main pay-per-view. Big G, check your Facebook Messenger inbox and click that link. That should take you to me, hopefully. If not, then I don't know what the fuck. I would like to think Stone Cold wrestle one more match. I'd like to think that he would again make that happen, and I hope so. So there is
what's up Big G in the house.
Big G up in his house. Well, Big G up in other Jeff's house, so you know, there you
yeah.
So you've been a fan how long now?
Since what, 99 2000?
Okay, so you've pretty much seen the entire rise, fall, redemption, whatever, of Bryan Danielson.
Yeah. Oh, you might be talking about Daniel Bryan.
No. I mean, how long have you been a fan? Period. That way, I know how far I can reference back before I go. Okay.
Oh
did
yeah,
you know
yeah.
Brian
Bucky, I
Danielson?
know
Did
them.
you know Daniel Bryan? So.
Yeah, it's been since 2000. I've been a fan. But like Daniel Bryan, not until I guess NXT back in 2010.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. You missed out on a lot of quality stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone on YouTube and, you know, I've watched some of his Ring of Honor matches back in the day, and do they have any of the PWG stuff on YouTube with his older matches?
I don't think it's on YouTube. I think PWG is very, very tight-knit about hanging on to their content. They do sell DVDs through high spots through their own website, but they've got every event. If they have it in stock, they've got every event they've had. Matter of fact, the first time I saw him, the DVD, I think, is still on that website. I really want to get my hands on it because I've not seen that match since I saw that match. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was him, and he was in the match. I think Ricky Reyes in the match. I'm pretty sure Christopher Daniels was in the match, too. That was like a tag team. Okay. It was two against two. I forget which who was on what side, but I'm pretty sure Brian's team won. So, yeah, that was in 2004 I saw him. So, so I had heard about this young guy who had trained with Shawn Michaels, and you know he was coming up in the indies, and he was you know a big deal in Ring of Honor, and he was going to be a major player someday. And sure enough, there it is. And I agree with Wrestling Fan 1998 in that the Daniel Bryan story from WrestleMania 30 made that WrestleMania feel the most special, because I think without that story arc, there really isn't a whole lot of meat on that bone, except for maybe Cena and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Well, there is one thing that we don't like to mention, you know, Lesnar beating Undertaker's streak at WrestleMania 30.
Right. And I think that brief thing they did to get there was impactful. And of course the streak ending is still the most shocking thing I've seen in recent memory, but the overall arc I've been talking for the last 46 minutes between Brian going, you know, from that kick to the face all the way through 2 years later.
Yeah.
That shows me that McMahon and his team are capable of harnessing and releasing when necessary.
Yeah.
And they don't do that anymore. And it's fucking frustrating.
No, they don't. They try to, but then I believe that they give up on that personally easily. I mean, Roman Reigns could be that person, but since they pretty much force fed us Roman Reigns down our throats, I like Roman Reigns, you know, I have nothing against him, but in other people's eyes, you know, they wanted him to win the Rumble in 2014.
Right.
But the next year later, happened to be in Philly, and you know how a Philly crowd is. If they don't like something, they will let you know.
Oh, yeah. And
with The Rock being there, that didn't help either. They still booed him.
No. So, and the whole reason The Rock went out there was to quarter the boos, and it didn't work.
It didn't.
And then there you are, you know, at WrestleMania the year before, you know, both of Bryan's matches stole that show
from
everything else. And yes, like we said, the moment the streak ended was a huge, huge, holy shit, did I just see that moment?
Yeah.
But we went into it seeing the big Triple H entrance and the big win for Daniel Bryan, and then we ended the night the way we wanted to end the night, the way the Rumble should have ended two months before with Daniel Bryan being the guy. And it was and I have a question for you, sir, from the chat room.
All right.
Mike D says, Big G, what were your thoughts on the Firefly Funhouse match last night?
I tell you what, I wasn't expecting that. I enjoyed it from beginning to end. At first, when we were done watching it, I'm like, was I on a really good trip or a really bad trip? Or was this like an episode out of the Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I like how they kind of went from Cena starting out on SmackDown to the whole, I guess, was that supposed to be like a parody of the Mega Powers with him and Bray?
Yes.
Okay. And then you had
him and Beefcake, though.
Probably. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the whole NWO thing, that was pretty cool.
That was a shot in my heart. I love that part to pieces.
And then, you know, the ending was kind of weird too. You know, you had Bray Wyatt going back to his early days, you know, with the whole Sister Abigail thing. And then you had Bray Wyatt, you know, there making the pinfall count with the Fiend getting the wind over him. And, you know, people are like, you know, does this match really count? Was this part of John Cena's imagination? You know, well, he got the 1-2-3. So, you know, at least in my eyes, he got the victory. So,
yeah, people are talking about, you know, was it a real match? And it was even a poll in our group about was it count? Like, there was a pinfall. Bray Wyatt counted the fall for the Fiend. So,
yeah,
it's his house. He can do what he wants. Yep. So,
exactly.
So, there
just you like
go.
You well, know, just like the Boneyard match the night before, you know, I mean, yeah, that was like a more PG version of a Buried Alive match, and you really don't need a referee for that. But
right, so Wrestling Fan brings up a good question. I wanted to throw it out there real quick here. There it is. Brian should have won the 2015 Rumble because he was in that was the big Roman Reigns booing Rumble, and that would have made for a good story because. Talking about the odds coming back from the neck injury and the shoulder injury and coming back and winning the championship at WrestleMania. But I feel that Vince was hesitant to pull the trigger and go with it again because he was not wanting to rely on Bryan after what happened. So,
yeah.
Again, that's just
me. Was that the Rumble where he got eliminated like pretty fairly early?
Yep. Okay. And Philly was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It was ugly. Yeah. That the minute he went over that top rope, it's like, oh, no matter what happens, it's not going to matter.
No, it's not.
Once Brian hit the floor, it's like, this shit is on. Here we go. Yeah. Everybody's going to get booed now. And if it's Roman, it's worse. And sure as shit, it was Roman. So,
yeah.
Smith Grove, who obviously is a Halloween fan, mentions the Firefly Funhouse looked like a new installment of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, it did.
It was, like I it said, was very you, Freddy Krueger-esque, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel's second part of this career that he's in now, you know, his championship run when he was like the whole eco-friendly thing, I did enjoy that a lot. But, you know, now he's, we don't know what he's going to be doing, you know.
Yeah, I'm not hating on what he's doing. I like working with Gulak and with the whatever they're called, the artist trio or the artist collective, whatever the hell they're called.
The artist collective, yeah.
I think it's a cool idea personally.
Yeah.
Who else? I'm going to see who else is here. See who's online cuz I'm going to bring somebody else. You know what? It's almost time to go. Gene, thank you so much.
Not a problem.
I'm hoping to do Talk Wrestling Friday with Ask Me Anything, but if I don't, I'll pick a topic and we'll maybe we'll bring you in for it'll be about the same time. Just for SmackDown on Friday, so we'll see.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good.
All right, G, we'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, take it easy, JM.
All right, later, brother.
Later.
Big G with the appearance. Thank you, sir. So let me go ahead and wrap. I realize it was almost 5 o'clock here on my time, so I need to wrap this shit up. So let's get to the plugs. First of all, on teespring.com/stores/Jeff-Meacham-network. You can check everything out there. And I realized as I did that call with Big G that the Anchor thing couldn't hear Big G. So the recording I'm doing on Anchor is completely friggin' useless. So let's just go ahead and delete that now and I'll put it up on from here later. Because damn it, I just realized that. Okay, anyway. teespring.com/stores/the-night-shift for our logo guy. Thank you so much, Greg Clifton. Wednesday will be Wrestling Rewind, maybe live, maybe not. I'm still debating on if we can pull that out. If we can't, we'll record it tomorrow and or Wednesday morning, and we'll get it out to you as soon as possible Wednesday. And Friday will be Talk Wrestling. That will be live without question at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific prior to the start of SmackDown Live on Fox. And topic to be determined. I'm going to decide, you know what? Hell with it. Hashtag Ask Meech Anything is the topic for Talk Wrestling on Friday. And I'll put that out all over social media. I'll put that out across the Jeff Meacham Network. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Thank you so much to the people on YouTube and on Facebook and on Twitter, Periscope, and Twitch. Again, check us out at Jay Meach Podcast on Twitter, at underscore Jeff Meacham on Twitter, underscore Jeff Meacham on Instagram, and Jeff Meacham Network on Instagram. We'll be posting pictures of things in the days to come. Facebook.com/Jeff Meacham, Facebook.com/group/Jeff Meacham Network, Twitch.com/Jeff Meacham Network. And that's going to do it. Thank you guys so, so much. We will see you next time here on the Jeff Meacham Network next week, right here on Meacham's Musings.